thankful for that. Tell you, if it was not for the Lord, where would we be?
That's right.
If it was not for His help, we'd be of all men most miserable tonight. But I'm thankful that we've got a God that still has the power.
Yes.
I was this morning, it's been a rough week, seems like. I don't know if anyone else has had a week like mine or not, but it seemed like anything and everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I had a million different thoughts, a million different things that I had planned to start this revival with. And it just all changed this morning as I was driving on my route. I work for a dry cleaner place, so I get a lot of time to drive, a lot of time to think. And I was going down the road, and I just felt the Spirit of God begin to speak into my heart what I'm going to deliver to us tonight for the start of this revival. You know, God knew exactly who would be here.
Yes.
He's not surprised by who's here, and He's not surprised by who's not here. He's God.
Yes.
He knows the needs. He knows what we have need of. How many knows revival is so important for our lives?
Yeah.
It's important. Revival, it's a time where we as a church, we get revived.
Yeah.
We come alive. How many knows if we're going to affect this world, we've got to come alive in Christ.
Yeah.
If we're going to do something for God, we've got to get a hold of this thing. If you got your Bibles, we'll turn to the book of Matthew. Be reading a couple different places, so don't get comfortable in one chapter. We'll probably bounce around with a few verses tonight that I feel like the Lord's given. But for starters, you can turn with us to Matthew 28, beginning in verses 18 through 20. Do want to tell the pastor, we do appreciate this opportunity this weekend. And I pray that God would do a mighty work here. Thankful for this opportunity. Thankful for those that are here that braved the storm tonight. So we've got some warriors that braved it. Y'all can say, I'm a survivor. I came and I survived. So, but if we'll start with us tonight, I want to just go to verse 18 of Matthew 28. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. It just simply says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. How many is thankful for that promise and that commission that we find?
Amen.
There's really a couple things that I noticed here that I want to point out. When we read Matthew 28, verse 18, I tell you, when I was going down the road, I didn't even have this plan for tonight. I knew it was the Holy Ghost that spoke it. But I thought, when I came across that verse, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven. I'm thankful for that. I'm as glad that God's got all power in heaven.
Amen.
But I tell you what stirred me more than anything is that He's got all power in earth.
Yeah.
I tell you, if He was just the God of the heavenlies, but not the God of the earthly, I tell you, we'd be in a mess. But because we know tonight that He's not just God up in heaven, but He's God of the earth. We know tonight that He's not just a God that's up in there in the planets. He's not just a God that we've got to try to get a magnifying glass to make bigger. But how many knows when we worship Him and when we begin to magnify Him, it begins to make Him in His rightful place. I'm telling you, He's the God that has all power tonight. And sometimes, I really felt like God was reminding me that sometimes we as people forget that.
Yeah.
We as the church, we forget who it is that has all the power. Sometimes we think it's in our abilities, but I'm going to tell you, it's not in our abilities tonight.
No.
If it was in my abilities, this revival is going to be a disaster. If you're counting on me to revive you, you're in trouble. But I'm going to tell you what, if you can look past me tonight and you can see the one that I'm talking about and you can understand who it is, that is our help tonight. We have a helper that never leaves us, that never forsakes us, but he's God all the time. He's God in the morning, but he's God in the noontime. He's God in the noontime, but he's God in the middle of the night. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I know he's not lost control.
Yes. Amen.
How many knows we live in a world people have lost control?
Oh,
yeah. People have. People have lost the reason for getting up. There's people that survive by nothing. And Brother Eastman, you and your wife probably know this more than anybody. There's probably situations y'all see at the hospital that amazes you where people put their trust in. I've known people that, I'm not against medications. Do not get me wrong here. I'm not come. I didn't have any of this plan to say, but I just felt like saying there was people that I knew that had gotten in such a place spiritually that they could not sleep unless they popped a sleeping pill. But I tell you what, one night they got a hold of it and they said, I've got to quit depending on the sleeping pill and I've got to begin put my trust in the Lord. You know what it is? It's just times that we're facing. I'm going to tell you, we are facing an hour that I cannot explain. Our young folks, I get it. They're facing things that back in my time didn't seem like that big of a deal. But you look at the way society has gotten, our youth need to know there's a higher power tonight than drugs. There's a higher power tonight than alcohol. You don't have to live in sin, but you can live above it.
Amen.
You can live above it.
Amen.
I'm thankful that he's the God that has all power. I'm thankful that he's God of heaven, but he's God of the earth. He's God of my babies. I'm thankful for that. He's God of our church. I'm thankful for that. He's not lost sight of his church.
No.
I feel like we're living in an hour where, and I understand because I'm a preacher. I know those moments in my time of preaching where I feel discouraged because I've delivered my heart, but I feel like I'm not helping anybody. I've been there at those times where I've told my wife after I got done ministering, I don't know why God continues to allow me opportunities because I feel like I fail him over and over and over again. But I'm going to tell you what gets me up on this platform every time is I remember one thing. He has the power. And because he has the power, we have the power.
Amen.
I want to preach just for a little while tonight on we have the power because he has the power.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, we have the power because he has the power.
Amen.
The thing that I notice about this in the same chapter, we find where Jesus tells the disciples that he's God of the heavens and in the earth and that he has all power. But the very next verse, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Can I tell the church here tonight that our God has not set us up for failure, but he has equipped us to be overcomers over whatsoever we face. I've got to tell some sister tonight or a brother tonight, we have a God that is ready to do the unthinkable things. We serve a God that wants to make us alive and a witness to this world.
Amen.
We are made to be demonstrations of the power.
Hallelujah.
You know why we do what we do? Because we are a demonstration of what God can do.
Yeah.
He didn't save you. I love Sister Bonnie. Every time you're up here playing, you're giving it all you got. I love that.
Yeah.
What's the point of doing it if we're not going to give it our all? My father, there's many times, last night, Sister Brooke, I don't mean this, and I'd never tell my dad this to hurt his feelings, But he was about every key on that bass you could be, but the right one. And he finally realized it. He said, "Church, I've got every chord, but the chord I need to be in tonight." So he finally just put the bass down. He grabbed the mic, and he just gave it all he had. But he got to singing that song. There's so much power in the name of Jesus. There's so much power. Can I tell you? When you talk about the name of Jesus, there's just so much power. When you say my name, it don't cause demons to tremble. When you use my name, it don't do a bit of good. But when you say the name of Jesus, it gets every demon in hell's attention and puts them on the run.
Hallelujah.
We need to realize we have the power. Because he has the power. When we come alive to that fact, it'll change everything. It will. Want us to go to Mark 16. Mark 16, another place that I felt led of the Lord to read. Verse 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them." Listen to this. And the brother, the pastor done got all over this. He said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Yeah. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Can I tell you, if Jesus sends us, he will confirm it. I said, if Jesus sends us, he will go with us. I said, the Lord is in this place. Cain Revival Center, you're not without hope. You've got hope tonight. You've got the power tonight. You just need to come to the realization that it's God that makes the difference. It's God that makes the difference. Hallelujah. One other place that I feel like going to tonight. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 tonight. How many remembers this is that time where Christ, we know, had went to Calvary. He had conquered that mission. He had took the sin of the world upon him. And he had ended up in that tomb. But how many knows that he said, just like he said, "You can take this body. You can put it in that tomb. But I'm going to tell you what, after 3 days, I'm getting up." You know what? There was those, they didn't hear the word of the Lord. There was those, they didn't hear what Jesus said. He said, "Well, how do you know that?" Because they still kept going back to that tomb, expecting to find Jesus in the tomb. But when they got there, the angel stood and he said, "Why seek ye the living amongst the dead?" Can I tell you, Jesus ain't dead, but he's alive. Can I tell you, this thing that's in us, it ain't dead, but it's alive. What we've got in us, it's powerful. I'm telling you what, you touch an electric socket.
Oh yeah.
And I've been there. I did electric for 8-9 years. Oh, Brother Eastman, I remember that first time when I was green. They said, "You want me to kill the power?" I got it. Trying to be a big show off. Watch me work on this life. Yeah, watch me fry myself. I grabbed that thing. I remember putting that screwdriver. I remember that electric went up this arm through my chest and out that other arm, and the screwdriver dropped to the floor, and I said, "Shut the power off. Shut the power off." Can I tell you, that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to shut the power off. But can I tell you, there is no switch to the power of God. It just keeps coming. It just keeps living. It just keeps surviving. Every time the devil tries to work, God just keeps on moving.
Hallelujah.
You know what I thought about tonight? There's stories represented that I'll never know right here in this church. There's vessels. I don't know your story. But Brother Eastman could probably, if he had time, could say, you know how that one got here? You know how that one got here? There's probably lives here that was a mess before you met Jesus. But when you met Jesus, everything changed. Can I tell you, that's what he wants to do in this revival. You might be saved. You might have the Holy Ghost. But can I tell you, what he did once, he can do it again. I said sometimes, how many knows your car? Now we're getting electric cars. I see people all the time now. I'm driving and they're sitting charging. I said, how must they feel? I mean, could you imagine a night in a blizzard having to sit there, charge your car? By the time the car's done charging, you're buried. But you know what? It's so true. How many knows as Christians? Sometimes the journey is long. Sometimes the journey gets heavy. Sometimes the journey, we feel so dry. We feel so thirsty. And we need to take a trip back to the filling station.
Yeah.
I tell you, he's got enough.
Yeah.
He's got more than enough.
Amen.
Jesus looked here in Acts. I thought about this. Scriptures 1 through 8 said, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But I like what verse 8 said. And this is where I really felt like launching out. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know what I love about this story? How many knows that some of those disciples that Jesus was talking to, there was a man named Peter. That man, Simon Peter. How many can remember times in his life where he did not really understand the fullness of what Jesus was saying to him? How many can say, aren't you glad that Jesus sometimes comes by and says it a second time?
Yeah.
God didn't do that for Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that prophets even had to hear it a second time. How many knows the devil will sometimes get on your shoulder and say, look, Jesus is frustrated with you. No, he's not. He just wants you to listen when he speaks. Simon Peter, man, me and Pastor, we didn't even talk before church, but God had a channel going. He talked about how Simon didn't understand. He talked about how Jesus had rebuked him, but notice Jesus never gave up on him. You know what? Sometimes pastors might say things to us and we think they're trying to hurt us, when in all reality, they're just trying to challenge us. I've had my pastor at times say things that, boy, it hurt. But then when I prayed on it, God said, there's some meat to that. There's some bread to that. If you take hold of that, you're going to come out of this thing better. Simon Peter, I'm sure it didn't feel good when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Wow.
I've never had someone tell call me Satan. Simon did. He said, you don't know what you're even talking about. Could you imagine if you were standing here preaching and all of a sudden Jesus, well, I hope you don't do that tonight to me. We heard a voice echo and say, shut up, son. You know not what you're saying. Could you imagine? I remember one time in Pacific, I didn't have this plan to say. I'm just following the Holy Ghost right now. I remember one time in Pacific where I did have the Lord tell me to sit down and shut up. I will never forget it. I was 12 or 13 years old at a youth camp. And a preacher started preaching. And I drew the conclusion already. Well, this one ain't for me. That must be for so-and-so. And all of a sudden the Lord said, sit down and shut up. It is for you. You talk about going from, I was doing one of these. Amen, come.
Because I was told, shut up.
Listen. Listen. Buddy, that was one of the greatest blessings I ever got because I heard what the Master was saying. I want to tell you, Simon Peter, he got into that place. He got into that upper room. He got a hold of that promise. He said, man, I've got to be in that upper room. You realize there was 500, it said. On many occasions, it said they believed that there was over 500, possibly more. But they know for sure 500 that had saw Jesus risen. But yet, how many do we find in the upper room? 120. Now, we're not up here bullying anybody that didn't show up to fellowship tonight. We ain't going to make nobody feel guilty tonight, are we? You know what? It's kind of like that here. There's a few that made it up in their minds. I've got to get to church. How many's got that attitude in this revival this weekend? I've got to get something from God. Since I remember what God did for you at youth camp, can I tell you? He's the same right here at the home church. I remember I still, that night, watching you girls shout. That was wonderful. But God can do it here.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God can do it here. There were so many in our youth group growing up. They had youth camp relationship. But if it wasn't youth camp, they felt like they couldn't make it. But I want to be a testimony to you. I survived past youth camp because I got something deep down inside of me. Because I realized somewhere in my life, I have the power because He has the power. Yeah. Somewhere in Simon Peter's life, he went from being somebody that didn't understand to being somebody that got endued with the power from God. And what did we find happening shortly thereafter?
Yeah.
3,000. Mm-hmm. Peter was that one. That one that at Calvary couldn't even acknowledge that he was a follower of Christ. Think about that. You must be a follower. And that wasn't like there was even a great crowd, Brother Eastman, at that moment. Wasn't even like really that was a lot of pressure because there was a lot of things happening in that moment. But Peter said, I don't know what you're talking about. But look what happened after Acts. Look what happened after he got endued. When 3,000 started making fun of them, saying these men are drunk. These men are full of wine. These men, this. And Peter said, oh, no. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Can I tell this church? I've been telling our church back home, Pastor, I've been encouraged. I feel like the Lord is getting the church ready to go up. But before we go up, we've got to get endued with power. We've got to get endued. I'm telling you, God's not coming back for a weak church. God's not coming back for a church that's barely making it. But God's coming back for a victorious church.
Yes, hallelujah.
I want to encourage us tonight. We're not barely going to make it. How do you know? Because we have the power. Because He has the power.
Yes.
Amen.
Somebody. You know, I talk a lot about electric with this because electric's fascinating. It'll wake you up quick.
Awesome.
I was in a basement. I'm working on a fixture, and the guy was working on a circuit, and he slipped the circuit. The circuit slipped out of his hand, hit the bus bar of that panel. And I'm not paying attention for that. I'm just reaching, and that whole basement lit up like the 4th of July. Just boom! I come off that ladder. Everything that was in my hand went to the floor. And I said, what happened? He said, oh, it's me. I let that circuit slip and it hit the bus bar. You know what? When the power of the Lord happens, it gets people's attention.
Yes, amen.
It does. When God begins to do things, it'll get your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
Simon Peter, one story that I love, he found out a long time ago before the upper room that Jesus had all power.
Yeah.
You say, what are you talking about? How many remember Simon Peter? How many in here sometimes feel like what you have is not enough? And if you feel that way, you're not alone. We don't have the ability in ourselves. But it's what is in us that makes the difference.
Amen.
It's what gets in us that makes us different. That's what happened to Simon Peter. How many remembers Jesus come on that scene while Peter had fished all night? Now, how many men in here? I know I got to have some fishermen, hunters, different ones. You know what? You know what the thing I hate the most is when I come home after deer hunting all day long. And I've been bragging to my wife that I'm going to get that trophy buck. I've got him pegged. Got him on camera. I've got him figured out. And it's like that buck's looking at the camera going, hey, dummy. He ain't never going to get me. And every time I get that photo, I get madder and madder. You slipped me on that one. I remember one time I hunted one stand. And something told me to go check my camera. And I checked my camera. And if I would have hunted the other stand that same day, I would have had it. I think they know. You say, where are you going with this? It's that frustration. That frustration of when you got to tell somebody, what'd you catch?
Nothing.
You hunted all day? Did you see at least one? Saw a couple. Why did you shoot too far? That's a good one. Too far. You know what? Peter, he had fished. He was a professional fisher. We're not talking about somebody that didn't know how to fish. He knew how to fish. But I believe on that certain day, Jesus had a lesson for Peter. Peter fished all night. Caught nothing. He was frustrated. He was tired. And he don't even realize it, but Jesus sneaks up behind him and starts ministering to others. I'm glad that Jesus ministers to others, aren't you?
Yeah.
But you know what? Jesus got personal with Peter. Aren't you thankful that Jesus ministers to others, but he ministers to me?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that Jesus takes time to deal with others, but I'm thankful that he takes time to deal with me.
Amen.
Jesus comes to Peter. He says, why don't you go on out? Launch out into the deep. Now, how many men... I'm going to keep this sweet and peaceful with my wife. There's suggestions my wife has made at times. And there's things that I wanted to say, but the Lord checked me. Keep peace in the home. Peace in the home. Can you imagine what was going through Peter's mind when Jesus said, launch out into the deep? I heard one preacher say it like this. Peter probably wanted to say, you're a carpenter. Why don't you go work on tables? And I'll stick to fishing. But somewhere, Peter realized something. He's a master. He not only is carpenter, but he knows how to fish.
Yeah.
And when Peter heard those words say, launch. And some of you, I know some of you when I said that statement, was like, you know what? How many times has Jesus told us to do something? And we acted like we knew better than Jesus. Guilty as charged. Simple things in my life. That sometimes the Lord said, make an adjustment here or this way. And I thought, well, I'll do it this way. And I made a bigger mess than if I would have just did it his way. Thank God Simon Peter had sense enough to say, nevertheless, I've got a word, Lord. I've fished all day. I'm tired. I've done it. But I'll do it because you told me to. He launches out. He throws that net. And one preacher said it. And I don't quite comprehend it all. I wish I was better at understanding some things. He said some versions of the Bible, it said net. But he said, if you go back as far as the original manuscripts, many of them said nets. But he said, Peter only threw out one net. He said, look what happened. Jesus told him to launch out nets. And when he launched out the nets, there was more fish in his net than his net was able to contain. You know what he had to do? He had to start hollering for help. He had to start looking for help, saying, "Help! Help! I've got more than I can handle." You know what was amazing? Here come the other boats. Here come people teaming up with them. His buddies teaming up. And the Bible said that it began to fill not just Peter's boat, but it began to fill their boats, that they began to sink. You know what happens when we get in alignment with Christ and when we put on Christ and when we get activated in what Jesus wants us to do? Many times we cannot contain the blessing in ourselves.
Hallelujah.
But you know why? Because God never intended us to be selfish with what He gives us. He didn't give you a blessing to keep to yourself. He gave you a blessing that it would be so big that you'd have to go get somebody else and say, "Let me tell you about what God can do." That's the beauty of the church. That's the beauty of what happened to Peter. Peter got full and endued with the power from on high. And he said, "Hey, 3,000, it's not just for me, it's for you too. This is what happened. This is what you did. You rejected the Christ. You rejected God. But God's given you a new opportunity to say, 'I'm sorry.'" And they said, "What should we do?" He said, "Ask the Lord to come into your heart and believe Him for the undoing." And how many knows that 3,000 left saved? But they not only got saved, they got filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, that's what God wants to do this weekend.
Hallelujah.
This weekend. Right here. Bring God what you got. Quit looking at what you got and saying it ain't enough. I'm reminded of another place in the Word of God that I can back it up. When we realize how much power He has. When we realize how great our God is, it won't matter what we think we don't have. If we'll put it in His hands, He can work it into something.
Amen.
How many remembers? Me and my children and my wife were even talking about this the other day. Was there not a place where Jesus was out ministering and He saw the crowds? He saw their fatigue. He knew they were hungry. He knew they were thirsty. He said, "We got to feed them." And there's those disciples not registering what Christ is saying. "Well, Lord, do you realize how much this would cost?" Oh, I'm going to leave that one alone, buddy, so I'll leave that one for you sometime. Sometimes ministry costs. How many knows that? Mm-hmm. Ministry, it will stretch you. It will stretch your life. It'll stretch. One man said, I set out to do a ministry. He said, and I looked at the pantry, and he said, "God, all we got is Twinkies and Cokes. What is that going to do?" And he said, "I felt the Lord say, give me the Twinkies and give me the Cokes and I'll give you souls." He said, and that's what I did. I set out, I gave God what I had. And he said, before long, we started being able to give out bus passes. He said, before long, we started being able to give people hotel passes. Homeless people. We started being able to send them to shelters. He said, when we started out, we had Twinkies and Cokes. He said, but by the time it was over, God gave us enough to reach the helpless. Can I tell you, God just wants a church that'll say, "Give me what you have and watch my power work."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Just give the Lord what you have. Mm-hmm. Jesus finally looks at him. He said, "We got anything? We got anything?" And all of a sudden, one of the disciples said, "Well, we got a lad. We got a lad here." I could just see it. Pride probably in his mouth. "We got a lad here." How many's ever? My son, one time. Silas, forgive me. I love you, son. He hates when I even mention him. But it goes in good with what Dad's preaching. Kids don't know the meaning of money. How many knows that? Money to them, it grows. I mean, we were financially, well, that's about all the time. Financially, we were having one of them tough times. One of them times that you look for McDonald's dollar menu. I looked at my son and said, "I'm hungry. How about you?" He said, "I'm hungry too, Dad, starving." I said, "Well, where do you want to go?" He said, "Oh, damn. Texas Roadhouse sounds so good."
Oh.
I looked at him in big eyes. I said, how much money is that? He said, I got 50 cents, Daddy. I said, they might give us a roll apiece, maybe. Maybe. That's kind of where they were. I don't laugh. He's got a couple loaves, a couple fishes, Lord. What can you do with that? But you know what happened? That lad realized, give it to him. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost in here. That lad realized, take what I have, give it to him, and watch what he does with it. Jesus didn't laugh. Jesus didn't look at his basket and say, it ain't enough. But Jesus said, give it to him. Look what happened after Jesus blessed it. The Bible said 5,000. And some say that was just including the men. Some say there was more that it didn't even include. I'll tell you what I do know. Everyone got fed.
Yeah.
Everyone left not hungry. And what I do know is there was leftovers. You know what? Every time God blesses you, he's going to give you not just enough. He's going to give you more than enough to take it to somebody else. That's what I feel like God's just wanting to do here this weekend. I'm telling you, church, I had a lot of other directions I thought I would be going tonight. 2 weeks ago, before the storm, I had a direction I was sure I was going. But this morning, God said, remind them that they have the power because I have the power. How do you know God's got so much for us? Because he's got all power in heaven. But he's got all power in our
hallelujah.
Sister Bonnie, he's not through with your family. He's not through with your family. Sometimes we've all been there. My grandma, I'm coming to a close. If my wife will get a song ready, my grandma, we had this little prayer box for Lisa. And I've been talking to pastor. I said, I know it's not right. We can't do that. I don't know if y'all ever have them. Them old prayer boxes. There's probably years worth of prayers in that box. And you know, out of curiosity, we've all been there. Oh, it kills me to think. I know how good God is. I wonder how many prayers in that box. If we could get in that box, we could put check marks beside and say, answer. And I know it ain't my right to open that box, and I haven't. But I will not lie, that curiosity, Sister Riley, oh, if I could get in that box and start documenting what God's done. Mm-hmm. But that's the prayer of God's people.
Yes.
There's private prayers we pray. And sometimes we think, God, this seems so silly. But there's nothing in the eyes of God that are silly. You know what? This is a Friday night. The weather, you name it, earlier this week, I didn't even tell your pastor, physically, I come under an attack. I cannot explain before the survival. I had people in my family. Well, maybe you should call Kate. I said, no, no, no. I said, God has a plan this weekend. Because this would not be going on if it wasn't God having a plan. I'm not upset tonight at the crowd. Because you know what? Paul and Silas were two. They were two in a prison. But you know what? They realized he's got the power.
Mm-hmm.
Young folks, I look across this building. We've got a lot of children in here. I want them to be able to leave tonight saying, he's got the power. He's got the power. He's got the power. And because he has the power, I can overcome. Getting back to what I was saying, though. My grandma prayed years. Many of y'all have seen that organ. Organs are heavy. I don't know how much weight, if that one's a heavy one or not. But organs, I'm telling you, they can be deceiving. They don't look like much. You lift one up, you'll see why a lot of churches don't have them. But I love organs. I do. I love them. My grandma, Pastor Bailey, I cannot tell you how many times Pastor Bailey says, we're getting rid of this organ. Nobody's playing it. We're getting rid of it. And Grandma Bailey, we call her the old general. Buddy, she'd lift that. No, you're not. Don't don't you touch that organ. Ma! You know how moms and sons can. He was giving his argument, and the general was giving her argument. She won it many times. Pastor Bailey said, many times I gave up because I never thought my brother would come home. Far from home. But there was a general that said, Lord, you've got the power. You've got the power. Boy, I can't help it. I feel the Lord reaching to some hearts here tonight. Oh, I feel good in my soul that God's doing something even when we can't see it. He's working. Somebody, God's went a long ways to reach you because your daddy wouldn't give up. Because your mama wouldn't give up. There's some of you, but for the grace of God, you would not be here if it was not for the Lord. But I'll never forget, I was on my couch in Louisville, Kentucky. Well, actually, Brooks, Kentucky. We was the last house on that road. My wife hated that. I worked second shift, and man, it was in the woods, way out there. I hated leaving her. I'm going to tell you, I remember being on that couch by myself. My mom called me. She said, you ain't going to believe it. You ain't going to believe it. She said, just pray. I said, well, you tell me what I ain't going to believe. She said, Buzzy's at the altar. He said, oh, what's the big deal? But 30-something years that man had been out, away from God. I'd watched him come to camp meetings. I'd watched him sit on pews. I watched tears come down his face, but yet with a stiff heart, reject the mercies of God over and over. And I thought, God, will he ever accept you again? I remember being a little boy, but these preachers didn't even know I was hearing. I was a little boy in the basement. I remember two preachers were talking, and I know they wouldn't have said it if they knew I was there. It devastated me. But I heard one preacher tell the other preacher, ah, I think he's a reprobate. I think God's just turned him over. You know what? I'm glad I'm not the judge. I'm glad I'm not the judge. There's been people that I counted out long ago, but God said, no, 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 no. Keep praying. I don't know where this is coming from, but God's trying to encourage somebody. He has the power. My brother-in-law preached that sermon. He said, I didn't preach. It wasn't like people ran the aisles. It wasn't like the church was shouting. It was just a normal service. I preached. Didn't feel like it really did much. But I watched that uncle. He said he got up. Tears down his face. And he hit that altar and prayed through to salvation. I'm going to tell you what, when people said there's no way, God said, yes, there is. I wanted to encourage the people that came today. He has the power. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take for some of your loved ones to acknowledge their need for God. But trust God. He knows what he's doing. Trust God. He knows what he's doing. Could we gather tonight in these altars before we leave here tonight? Could we